Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. It will probably not be much of a shock to most of you here when I say that I really enjoy going to Walt Disney World in Florida. I have a bit of a problem. I even got for Father's Day this year, I received a book called Maps of Disney with all different maps of the different changes in the various parks and whatnot. But each of the four parks at Walt Disney World in Florida has their own icon. Magic Kingdom, of course, has the castle. Epcot has Spaceship Earth, or as we in the Brock family like to call it, the big golf ball. Animal Kingdom, though, has the Tree of Life. Now, this baobab tree is the centerpiece of the park, and it is huge. It's 145 feet tall. It's 50 feet wide at the base. It has over 8,000 branches on it, and it sprouts over 102,000 leaves, at least a foot long each. The trunk of the tree is covered with more than 300 detailed carvings of animals, both real and imagined. Now baobab trees can live over 2,000 years old. The oldest one that they found so far is in Central Africa. It's estimated to be over 2,500 years old. Oh, and at the one in the Animal Kingdom, at the base of the tree, is a theater that will seat more than 400 people. And at night, on the trunk, on this huge, huge trunk, they do a light show. They will show videos and movies. It's an amazing sight. Since this is Disney, though, you probably know or suspect that it is not an actual naturally grown tree, but is rather of human construct. What you might not know is that the framework for this amazing, beautiful icon is an oil drilling rig. The framework, the very core of this tree, was designed for something entirely different. And the tree, as you see it, looks nothing like that from which it came. Isn't it funny sometimes how things can look nothing like that which they came from? In our first reading this morning, Ezekiel is talking to the people of Jerusalem. And he's talking to them at a time when doom is imminent. The northern kingdom of Israel had long ago been invaded. The northern kingdom had long ago been invaded and wiped out by the Assyrians. Those people are gone. They've been assimilated. That country is no more. The southern kingdom of Judah, which is where Jerusalem is, there in Jerusalem, the people of Judah say to themselves, well, the Lord God is never going to let anything bad happen to us. We have the temple. We have a descendant of David on our throne. We are the true people of the Lord God. The problem was, though, that the people, and by the people I mean the governing body, the religious leaders, and the everyday folk, the people as a whole, had all pretty much come to take their faith life as well as those promises, those covenants that were made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I will be your God, you will be my people. They had all pretty much taken all of that for granted. They were outright ignoring the Lord and those covenants. One of the things about covenants, though, they're two-sided. Both sides need to live up to the agreement. If one side is living up to the agreement and the other one is not, the whole thing is pretty much out of whack. And that's what was happening in Jerusalem in Ezekiel's day. Ezekiel's message again and again throughout much of the book is, we have turned away from the Lord God. If we do not return, God is going to allow something bad to happen to us. But our reading this morning is not that message. In the midst of this message of impending doom, Ezekiel says to the people, he gives them this word of hope, a message of promise, of new life. And he uses the image of a tree. God, Ezekiel says, is going to take a sprig from a tree, from a cedar tree, and take it from where it would normally grow and take it to the very top of a mountain where all of Jerusalem can see it. And God is going to plant that tree and fill it with new life, and it will grow and it will produce fruit, and it will look nothing like that tree from where it came. It will be like, Ezekiel says, faith from an unexpected place. In our gospel message, Jesus uses similar kind of imagery. Jesus talks about mustard seeds. They're small, they're insignificant. I can't even hold one up because you wouldn't be able to see it. Yet when they are planted and watered and cared for, they can grow into a bush. Jesus says that they can grow into a bush so large that it will shade and shelter birds and other life, wildlife. A mustard bush can be higher than the average person. And they look nothing like the seeds from whence they came. Talking about seeds, I found a little blurb that Henry David Thoreau once wrote. He said, "In the spring of 1857, I planted 6 seeds sent to me by the patent office and labeled, I think, and I'm going to mispronounce this, Porterine Jeannet Grosse, or large yellow squash. 2 came up," Thoreau wrote. "One bore a squash that weighed 123.5 pounds. The other bore 4, weighing together 186.25 pounds. Who would have believed that there were 310 pounds of large yellow squash in that corner of my garden? A little mysterious hoeing and manuring was all the abracadabra presto change that I used, and lo, true to the label, they found me 310 pounds of large yellow squash where it was never known to be, nor was before." Small, insignificant seeds produced 310 pounds of food. A huge payoff from such a very small beginning. All of us start out new, small, untested. As a child, being new at work, as a baptized child of God. How you grow, though, that's the question. How do you grow personally, professionally, faith-wise? Do you now, today, look or act or believe like you did when you first started your job, or when you graduated high school, or when you were confirmed? Have you grown, changed, become stronger, weaker, better, worse? What is grounding you? What is giving you roots, giving you strength in each of those? Our faith starts out small. Hopefully, yours has grown and blossomed and bloomed into something that is large and marvelous. Maybe the beginnings from where you came are something else entirely different from where you are now. That's fine, but all that really matters is where your faith is today. And to know that we are called to do that which Christ told us to, love the Lord our God with all of our heart, body, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. God has given us faith, and therefore we are called to spread that faith and use it like the mustard bush, like the cedar way up on top of the mountain, to help others, to help those around us, to bring the new life of Christ to those who do not know it. Now, Disney's Tree of Life is full of surprises. It's full of joy and wonder, whether that comes from being in the show down in the theater at the base of the tree, looking at the carvings of the animals on the trunk, or watching the show, the light show, as it's displayed. That tree is there to represent life, all life. Life, though, I know, is not the flash bang of an amusement park. Faith life needs structure, something solid and real on which to build. That's what both Ezekiel and Jesus are saying. Allow God to give you that structure, however small or however big it might be. Allow God to change you, build on you, make you into something new and wonderful, something which you could not have imagined. Allow God to create in you your own tree of life. Amen.